students back up to speed.
Good morning again to everyone. It's good to see you on this Resurrection Day. Christ is risen from the dead, just as he said. I greet you in the name of Jesus on this April the 4th in the year 2021. This is the Contemporary Bible Class, and if we have any new people or visitors with us this morning, we all welcome you, each one of us. We are glad that you are here. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders, and this is the Contemporary Bible Class. We are currently studying through the Gospel according to Luke. And if you recall on last week, and first of all, let me say I'm glad to see everyone, each one of you. I've been praying for you. I pray for you regularly. I ask for your prayers. I need your prayers, so I ask for your prayers as well. Thank God for bringing us into a brand new week. It is a sunshiny day here in Omaha, Nebraska, but the sun is shining, S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. He shines forevermore, and we praise him. As you know, we have been studying the gospel according to Luke, and last week I said we would start chapter 12 today. Well, this is Resurrection Day, so it is only appropriate that we would talk about the resurrection and see what the Bible has to say. Some things, we can't cover it all in 1 week, of course, in 1 hour, but to see some things about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So next week, having said that, next week, Lord willing, we will resume with our study of Luke. I encourage you to read Luke chapter 12. Let's look at it for a second. Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, and I encourage you to read the chapter. And also, as you can see, we know that Luke is the longest gospel of the four gospels, even though Matthew has 28 chapters. Luke's gospel is the longest. And if you notice, Luke chapter 12 is not a short chapter. However, you can read that chapter in one sitting, but if you don't manage to read it in one sitting, surely you can read it by next Sunday. So I encourage you to read Luke chapter 12. That's where we'll start on next week. Now, I feel like, you know, our classes, there's so much God's word truly lives. God's word pulsates with his own life. God, you know, it's just like the fish and the loaves that multiplied as Jesus broke the fish and the loaves. So it is with the word of God. As we chew on the word and he breaks the word to us, it multiplies. It's his life, its own life. And I say that to say when we're in class, I'm teaching. That's the main thing. God told Velma to teach. However, there is a time for questions, for comments. And so I have felt led. Now, Luke chapter 12 been a long chapter, but I want you as we proceed forward to make a list of your questions. Some of them may be answered before we finish that chapter. But after each chapter, this is how I feel led now. After each chapter, we will have a special session just for comments and questions on that previous chapter. Amen. So even as you're reading through Luke chapter 12 this week, you can begin to write your questions or perhaps comments. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Blessed God, we greet you. We greet you and we say good morning to you, our Father who art in heaven. We hallow your great name. We give glory and honor to you, Father. We praise you forevermore. We give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, the Son, the risen Son of God, the Lamb slain, the Lamb buried, the Lamb risen from the dead forevermore, the Lamb given all power in heaven and in earth, the Lamb who says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. We give glory to the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher, to be our leader, to be our guide, to open to us the glories of the Christ. and we'll be careful to give your name the praise forevermore. We do pray for one another. You told us, pray ye one for the other. And we all need prayer. And so, Father, we pray one for the other. Whatever it is that we need, thou knowest better than we can tell you. And so we ask you, Lord, as you promised, you would take care of us. And we just ask you, Lord, to take care of my brother. Take care of my sister. Take care of me. And we pray this in the name of Jesus with the full assurance that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again, if anyone new has joined us since we opened this morning. Well, this class will be concentrating on the resurrection of the Lord. We know that Christ being risen from the dead is being celebrated by many all over the world. Now, we don't know the exact day or date that Christ was born, but we do know he was born. We probably say, well, he wasn't born on December 25th, because when in his day there wasn't even a December 25th. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is that Christ was born. We don't really know the day that he was crucified, but we do know he was crucified. And we just choose to commemorate that on Good Friday. Whenever he was crucified, we do know that 3 days later, he rose again, 3 days and three nights. We know that 3 days later, Christ rose from the dead. And never to die again. He's not going to go through that again. Never to die again. One time, one sacrifice for sin, once and for all. And we sing glory to his name. And we join in our voices with many others, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today I want to talk about the resurrection. But let me say a few things. Before we go into that, on last week, as you all know, that God's Word Alive had the sessions on the six miracles of Christ. We had our last session last Friday. The entire series was a blessing. Each presenter presented their miracle. One of our presenters is with us today, Minister in Training Bowen, and I'm, of course, Overseer Maxie. He's in Wichita, pastor of a church. He's not with us. But they spoke on those resurrection morning miracles. So I want to acknowledge that. And for those of you who prayed, supported in any way, God bless you. Now let's talk about resurrection. And let's look at what does Luke have to tell us about resurrection? Well, first of all, we've been to this verse many times, but let's go to it again in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. We have already found out that Luke chapter 9 is a transitional chapter for many reasons. We have talked about that. But it is in Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, that for the first time, Jesus tells his disciples what will happen to him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 22, it says, and I read from the New King James Version of the Bible. I teach and read from the New King James. Luke chapter 9, verse 22 says, saying, the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man must, and the must is an imperative. The must, it is ordained. The must, it cannot be prayed away. There are some things that we just must go through. And so Jesus says about himself, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. And be killed. Hold on just a second. And be killed and be raised the third day. So we see right there, there's a series of things that our Lord had to go through. First of all, there is the sufferings of Christ. And when we say Jesus died, yes, he did. He did die. He was buried. Yes, he was. He was buried. He rose again. Yes, he did. He did rise from the dead. But we need to also commemorate that Jesus suffered. He suffered and died, because we know people die, and not all deaths are suffering deaths. And most of us would say, whenever it's my time to die. We don't know how we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. But I don't think a one of us out here would say, I want to suffer and die. We just want to, Lord, take us on home. But Jesus let us know he had to suffer. And then after the sufferings and during the sufferings and part of the sufferings is the rejection. But after the rejection, and that's in what we're studying now in Luke chapter 11, we see where Jesus was being rejected and they would grow more intense. But after, during, and part of the sufferings, there is the rejection, and then Jesus must be killed. And you notice there it says, be killed. Now, other scriptures let us know he died. He did die. But he also was killed. And that's something to ponder. Why? Who killed him? Why did he have to be killed? Well, today we're not talking about the crucifixion per se. We're concentrating on the resurrection. So we will talk about the actual killing, the murder of Christ in weeks and days and months to come. But he must die. He must die. But then, praise God, the verse does not stop there. Jesus foretells right here, he foretells that he will be raised. We know that is the resurrection. But Jesus lets us know he knew the exact time. He knew exactly when he would be raised. He said he would be raised the third day. Now, we don't know the day we will die. And thank God he has hidden that from us. If he were to tell us when we would die and how we would die, I don't know how we would be reacting, but he doesn't tell us that. We know we will be raised, and he doesn't let us know at what point we'll be raised either, but we know that will happen. But for Jesus, he died when he said it was time to die. His Father let him know, and then he let us know he would be raised on the third day. And so this is the first time that Jesus prophesies and lets the disciples know that he, these things that will happen in his life. Then we go to Luke chapter, let's go to the end of Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. And it is in Luke chapter 24 that the actual resurrection of Jesus, and this is Luke's account, the actual resurrection of Jesus is recorded in Luke chapter 24. And so you can see from that, you know, I like the illustration of dot to dot. And most of us as children, we did dot to dots. And there would be a dot here and a dot there and a dot here. And you would take your pencil or pen or crayon and you would trace the dots. Well, here it is. We have first dot, Luke 9:22. Second dot here, Luke 9:24, and that would be like the end of that picture. And so Luke 24 is the actual resurrection. And you know, with dot to dots, you take that one dot, next dot, and you draw to the next dot. And there's some in between dot to dot. Well, so it is. What is the in between? What's between Luke chapter 9, verse 22 and Luke chapter 24? Well, that's what we're studying in the other chapters. But it is in Luke chapter 24 that we actually see the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Luke chapter 24 says, now on the first day of the week. And we know as Christians, and I didn't plan on saying this, but I will say it. As Christians, we celebrate Jesus every day. We worship, we praise, we celebrate him every day. But Sunday is the day that the majority of Christians choose to worship together, to come together. But some come together on Saturday, on the Sabbath. It really doesn't matter. The main thing is to celebrate Jesus Christ as Lord. We're not worshiping a day. We're worshiping Jesus. And so some celebrate on Saturday. There are some denominations that worship that come together on Saturdays. They gather on Saturdays. We in the Baptist denomination gather on Sunday. And our reasoning is because it was on the first day of the week that Jesus rose again from the dead. But if you come together on Saturday, that's fine too. The main thing is worship Jesus. So Luke chapter 24, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with him came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining white garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man.'" See, that's at Luke chapter 9:22, for example. "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. So let's stop right there for a moment. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I do want someone to unmute themselves and give an answer. And the first question I would ask is, and you know, you can't get to a resurrection without a death. There must be a death before there's a resurrection. So I want to ask someone to tell us, what is death? What is the definition of death? Not a clinical definition, not a long definition, but someone let us know, what do you think the word death means? Or the process of death, or death, someone.
Well, I would say the separation from the soul and the body.
Okay, the separation of the soul and the body. Amen. Thank you. Someone else, what is death? Any idea? We all have to face death, so we need to know, well, what exactly is this I got to face? Someone else, quickly. Now, someone ought to know what death is, or what you think death is. Okay. You have to unmute yourselves if you're talking. Okay, I see we're all something, don't want to talk this morning. So thank you, Sister Catherine Murphy. That's okay. You can still get to heaven. Death is, and Sister Catherine Murphy, I believe that was her voice I was hearing, defined for us, at least in part, a good part, what is death? This is the word death. Now, there's much more that could be said, but when it's all said and done, and in a capsule form, in a capsule form, death is separation. There is a separation that happens at death. Whether it's our death, anybody else's death, a saved person's death, a sinful person's death, Jesus's death, whoever dies, even if it's an animal, wherever there is a death. I say animals because they are living creatures, but let's keep it in the human realm. Where there's a death, there is separation. Well, the question is, what is separated? And Sister Murphy let us know what is separated in death is. Now, first, we got to go back some. What is man? Well, what composes man? Well, we don't want to go into a clinical definition, but we will go into a biblical definition. Man is comprised of three parts. So it is with Jesus. He became a man. And we are in the human race. We are men, woman, man's on it. Man and woman. human, man, mankind, coming up under Adam, Adam meaning man. So a man is comprised of these three parts, spirit, soul, and body. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner, doesn't matter if you're saved. We all were sinners, and we're saved, thank God, through Jesus. But everyone, the little bitty baby to the very old person, has a spirit, a soul, and a body. So what happens at death? At death, there is a separation. Separation of what? The spirit and the soul. Sister Murphy, you were on it. But it's the spirit and the soul, those three parts. And if you want to see the three parts, they're listed for us. The three parts of mankind are listed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The three parts. So at death, there is a separation of anyone, of spirit and soul, from the body. Now, having said that, when someone dies, now I need someone else to unmute themselves after saying what I just said. When someone dies, tell us what has happened. And not Sister Murphy, but someone else, based on what I just said. Have to unmute yourselves. No one?
Separation of the body and the soul and spirit. The body remains here. The spirit and soul goes on.
Okay, we're going to stick with just separation now. Thank you, okay. Sister Gay. That at death, if I die right now, or if you should die right now, what happened? Velma's spirit and soul left her body, okay? So that's the separation of the death. Now, that's definition of death, separation of spirit and soul from the body. But this is resurrection, resurrection day. So what is the resurrection? What has happened at resurrection? Now you have to hit the rewind button. There's a rewind now, per se. In the resurrection, if there has been a separation, and let's look at the separation with Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ, because we celebrate his resurrection. So let's look at Luke chapter, let's go to his death. And let's see what Luke says where Jesus died. Now, you know that would be at the end of each of the Gospels, whether you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you would know that the death of Christ would be at the end of the gospel. You would know that because the gospels are telling a story per se. Okay, so when we go to Luke chapter 23, verse 44. We'll start at verse 44 of Luke chapter 23, verse 44. And Luke 23, 44 says, now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And let me interject that. The sixth hour would have been noonday, our time. At 12 o'clock noon, our time, that's when darkness covered the earth. Jesus was crucified at our time, 9 in the morning, hung on the cross 6 hours. 3 hours in the daylight, 3 hours in darkness, okay? Luke 23:44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Now here comes the death. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Okay, you all see the separation there? The separation, the actual separation words are, into your hands I commit my spirit. He committed his spirit. Having said this, he breathed, because you know God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so Jesus here, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And that fulfills where he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. And he laid it down when he said, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Now, we don't have power to do that. We don't have power to say, now I'm going to commit my spirit to God. But Jesus did. And this is the actual death of Christ, when the spirit and the soul leaves the body. And it is spirit, so that means you can't see it with the natural eye. Some of you have witnessed people die. The only person I've seen actually die was my baby brother. I actually saw him leave this earth, you know, from the human perspective. But I didn't actually see his spirit leave, and I didn't actually see his soul leave. What did Velma see? I saw the body. The body was left here. The body was left here. And that's where Sister Gay was going on in her definition. So when Jesus says in Luke 23, verse 44, 46, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit, separation. Having said this, he breathed his last. And one day we will breathe our last. And that's the soul, that breath of life. And God, a man became soul, living soul. So the spirit and the soul leaving the body. But then we go on down to verse 50. And we don't, like I said, it's spirit, it's soul. You can't, it's not tangible. You can't see it with these five senses. No one has ever seen a spirit, touched a spirit, touched a soul. You don't see it. You see evidences of it, but it's like the wind. No one's seen the wind, but you do see evidence. A wind being a type of the spirit. Okay, so we go down to Luke 23, verse 50. And Luke 23, verse 50 says, now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and a just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man, and the man was Joseph, this man, not Mary's Joseph, but Joseph of Arimathea, part of the Sanhedrin. Verse 52, this man, Joseph, went to Pilate and asked for the spirit. No, couldn't ask for the spirit. But he asked for what? The body of Jesus. So the spirit and soul went back, because Jesus said, because it's when you ask the question in verse 46, where did Jesus' spirit go? Well, he tells us, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, Jesus himself entered into the most holy place to appear before God. Just like the Old Testament great high priest, Jesus himself appeared before God, went, transcended, passed into the heavens. And so that happened here at his death. But then Joseph of Arimathea comes on the scene, because the body was where? We know the body was on the cross, the crucified one. The body was still there. So verse 52 says, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he did what? Because his body, he could handle it. He could feel it. You could see bodies. That's what I'm seeing of you all today. And you're seeing me. I only see a couple of, everybody else got their name up or a picture. Our name, a picture, or a phone number. But I can see a couple of images here of people. Bodies. And you see my body, at least in part. You see it, but you can't see my spirit and my soul. So Joseph comes, he asked for the body. Verse 53, then he, Joseph, took the body down. And that's what's going to happen when we die, for the most part. When we die, someone's got to deal with our bodies. The spirit and soul is gone on. Velma be gone on, you'll be gone on, but somebody on this earth has to take care of the body. Same here, even with Jesus. And Jesus had, there was Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus that took care of that body. So it says in verse 53, then he, Joseph, took it down, wrapped it in linen. And Minister in Training Bowen told us about the resurrection day, what happened to those cloths that Jesus was buried in. Verse 53, then he, Joseph, took it down, wrapped it, the body, in linen, laid it, the body, in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. So now we can see death is the separation of spirit and soul from the body. Now we have to ask, what is resurrection? Could someone tell me what they think resurrection is quickly? And we don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to give someone a chance. And don't worry about, maybe you're not going to say exactly what Velma wants you to say. Just speak what you think resurrection is.
Rise.
Well, we all gonna rise after we leave class. So is that resurrection? Most everyone here is going to rise. I'm sitting. So in about 25 minutes, I will rise from this chair. So is that the resurrection?
I would say it's the transformation, as in like a metamorphosis.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Was that H.B. Taylor?
Yes, thank ma'am.
Yes. Okay. Someone else. Okay, because time is moving on. Let me move on. Resurrection. Now, like I said before, a few minutes ago, hit the rewind button. Resurrection is a reuniting. So you have that R-E in front. And we're not going to go into breaking the word down, but usually with those R-E's, there's a removal or there's a resurrection. And so the resurrection, if at death is the spirit and soul leaving the body, at the resurrection, the spirit of Jesus and the soul enters back into that body. Resurrection, coming back. The man coming back together. The spirit entered back into Jesus and he rose. It just the body did get up, but not by itself. The body got up, it was resurrected. The spirit of Christ got back into the body. And so it will be with us at the resurrection. The spirit and the soul will enter the body again and will rise. Okay. So resurrection is the coming again from the dead. A resurrection is, Catherine, you were right in the sense of arise, but it is a rising from the dead. That is resurrection. It is an arising from the dead. Amen. With the spirit and the soul entering back into the body. And so when Jesus died, Joseph took care of the body and Nicodemus took care of the body. At the resurrection, Jesus' spirit, and it will be the same with us, the spirit and soul enters back into the body. And at that point, Jesus, he didn't need anyone to take care of him because he had entered into that glorified life. All right. So resurrection, I want you all to get this. The resurrection is the re-entering of the spirit and the soul into a dead body, and it comes back to life. Amen. So that's what has happened on resurrection morning. Jesus is alive. That's what we say. He's alive. He died. Yes, he did. He was buried. Yes, he was. He lives today. Why? Because he was resurrected. His spirit and soul entered back into his body. Amen. Amen. So that's death, the separation, resurrection, reuniting of the spirit and the soul to the body. And those three parts of man, the three parts separated, but they will come back. And you hear this many times in church. If you've been in church a while, you may not hear it like I just said it, and probably you don't. But sometimes we will say, Jesus saves to the utmost. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. To the utmost, Jesus saves. Well, utmost is the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus came to take care of us in every part, the spirit, the soul, and the body. Amen. So let's look now. I wanted to spend some time in the resurrection chapter of the Bible. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the whole theme of resurrection, the whole chapter, the theme of it is the resurrection. So, resurrection is all throughout the Bible, starting in Genesis. Starting in Genesis is typified, symbolic in Genesis. Actually comes to pass with Jesus in the New Testament. So resurrection is all throughout the Bible, but the chapter that focuses the theme of it is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And for some of you who want to read more about the resurrection, and I encourage you to, it would be good just to go to this chapter and just find, first of all the times resurrection appears, or the word rise appears, you know, in whatever form. Okay, so let's look at this chapter. We don't have a whole bunch of time, but we do have time to kind of look, surmise it and overview it here. So 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. My Bible says the resurrection of the dead. And it starts out this is the resurrection we'll see of saints here. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand. Okay, so Paul is letting us know that he had proclaimed the gospel and we have heard the gospel. That's what preachers are supposed to preach, is the gospel. If they don't get anything else out, preach the gospel. So Paul says, I preach to you the gospel, and we did what? We received it, and we're believing it. We have faith in it, and we're standing in the gospel. And so what is the gospel? Well, verse 2, what is the power of the gospel? Verse 2 says, by which also you are saved. So salvation comes through the hearing, the believing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by which the gospel also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Okay, so you have to keep on believing. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. You know, every preacher had to hear the gospel too to be saved. And so they pass it on. And Paul says in verse 3, I delivered to you first of all what I received. So one day he had to hear it too. And here is the gospel in capsule form. The gospel has three parts, those three dots, three joints, major joints. Number one, that Christ died for our sins. That's the first joint, major joint of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. And you have to make sure you don't just say he died. It is very important to say he died for our sins. And the reason is because everybody dies. I mean, I die, you die, we will die. Everyone has died except for the two back there and a group to come, but all die. So it's not that just Christ died. He died differently than we. He died for our sins. Whereas with us, we die because of sin. We die because of that Adamic nature. We die because Adam was disobedient back there. We die because of our sins, our own sins. But Jesus died for our sins. He died for our sins. He paid the price. And you know, why did he die? Why did Jesus die? Because of sin. God laid on Jesus, the Lamb of God. Going back to the Old Testament, when the priest or whoever had to lay their hands on that animal, and those sins transferred, as it were, to that animal in type form, and the animal died. Well, Jesus was the Lamb of God, and God laid on Jesus all of our sins, all of our iniquities, and he died, all right? So Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And the second part of the gospel is, and that he was buried, and that is so important. Make sure you say he was buried, because often we skip over the barrel. He died, he arose. But it is very important to say he was buried. So the gospel, and that he was buried. And the third major joint of the gospel is he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again from the third day. And we should be hearing that proclaimed at every worship service. There should be a proclamation of the gospel, all right? So then it goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then it says in verse 5, it goes on. In verse 5, it says, he was seen. Jesus was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. So Paul is letting us know when Jesus rose from the dead, there were people back there that saw him. He rose from the dead, he was resurrected, and there were witnesses that saw Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, let me say this. Think about that body of Christ. When Jesus died, what form was that body in? We know it was bloody. We know the body, he was pierced. We know a sword had been pierced through his side. We know that he was bruised. We know that body was in bad, bad shape. We know that. But at the resurrection, no sign of that, because now he is glorified, the glorified Christ, the glorified Christ. So when the Spirit entered into Jesus, it's a glorified body. Same it will be with us. The body must be changed. And so it goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, that there were witnesses, people saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. And we know after the resurrection, Jesus stayed on this earth. He stayed on this earth for 40 more days. Yes, for 40 more days. I want to make sure I was right. It's 40 more days he stayed on the earth. And then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. All right, so let's go on in 1 Corinthians 15. And 1 Corinthians 15 goes on to say in verse 12, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Okay, so some people are saying there's no resurrection, but we as Christians, yes, there is. That's what we're celebrating, the resurrection of Christ. And another thing, as much could be said, can't say it all, don't know it all. And what we know, we can't share it all the time. But the other folks that were raised from the dead, such as Lazarus, we know that Lazarus was raised from the dead. But he didn't get up on his own. He didn't get up on his own. We know Tabitha was raised from the dead, but she didn't get up on her own. This is a difference between Jesus knew. Jesus said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to pick it up. No one takes my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. So Jesus, his own life, you know, Lazarus had to depend on Jesus saying, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus, no one had to tell him to come forth. No one told him to come forth. He is the Lord. He is God. And Lazarus died again. Those people had to die again. Okay? Jesus is alive forevermore. So Christ, we preach, we do preach. And that's another word when you're reading 1 Corinthians 15. Notice how many times the word preach, proclaim, declared comes up. And so it says in verse 12, Christ is preached. If Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. You know, we're called believers. Why are we called believers? Well, we weren't part of that group back in verse 7 and 8 and 9. We haven't seen Jesus. We didn't see him crucified. We didn't see him perform miracles. We didn't see him when he was on the cross. We didn't see him after he rose in those 40 days. But we do what? We believe by faith. We believe it by faith. And so verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching means nothing. Then our preaching is empty. Then your faith is empty. If Christ didn't rise, it's just empty. We're doing nothing. Then our faith is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. So that says every preacher that says Christ buried, you know, we're going to hear our pastors say today, and you're going to hear pastors, preachers all over the world and others, saints saying, he rose early Sunday morning. He rose from the dead. Well, this scripture saying, if he didn't rise and you preaching that, then you are a liar. You are a false witness. But we believe by faith, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. And when they say it was early Sunday morning, saints get happy because we know Jesus is alive and he is our blessed hope. Verse 16, if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. That's a horrible thing. If Christ is not risen, we are still, faith is futile and we are still in our sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, they have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Amen. Verse 20. But now, there's that but, transitional word. But now Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. We shout hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. Now let's think about loved ones who have died. And this is our blessed hope because someday we will die too. But think about your loved ones. I have someone in mind. You all have someone's in mind who have died. And Sister Gabe mentioned this somewhat. And then I stopped her because she was going further. But when we die, the body goes back to the dust. Yes, it does. And it doesn't matter if you're cremated. It doesn't matter if you... Many bodies are in the ocean. People, you know, drowned, all kind of ways you die, all kind of ways you can die. But either way, that body goes back to the dust. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. The body goes back to the dust. The spirit and soul go on. Whether it goes to heaven or to hell, it departs and it goes somewhere. The believer, for saints, the saints of God, absent from the body. There's a definition right there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Well, what's absent from the body? The spirit is absent, you know, missing. Spirit and soul, absent from the body. I had to do a roll call yesterday in a meeting I was in, and the absent people couldn't speak up because they were not there. And so absent from the body, the spirit and the soul, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Okay? Separation. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so our loved ones who have died, and someday it will happen to us, the body going back to the dust. We bury bodies, you know, coffins and the grave. That's for the body. The body. Spirit and soul gone back to the Lord. Jesus says, for the believer, Jesus says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15. But now we have 5 minutes. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Amen. So that says to us, when Jesus died, he is first. He is the first. If there's first, there will be second, third. There's going to be another group. You know, first fruits, you bring the best. First fruits is the best of the crop, the first of the crop. And Jesus is first fruits. And then he brought up some more with him when he arose from the dead. And Overseer Maxie told us about this Friday night. There were many other saints that rose as well. That was that first fruits group. So Jesus, the head, gets up first. He is the head of the body. And I told the Friday night group, even this morning, all of us laying in the image of death. But when we got up this morning, that's a type of resurrection. You get up head first. And Jesus got up on resurrection head first. He is the head of the church. He is the head, and the body will follow. So all the believers, all the saints who have died because Christ has died and risen, everyone connected with Christ will rise again in life. Amen. And that's the importance of, you must be born again. You have to be in Christ. In Christ, if you're going to get up in the right resurrection. But now, verse 20, Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, that's Adam, small m, by man came death, by another man, capital M, New King James, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, first Adam, all die. Everybody dies in Adam. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. And so all will be resurrected. But where all ends up is two different places, either in heaven, if you're in Jesus, or in hell, if you're not in Jesus. And so there's much, much more to be said about the resurrection. We have a few more minutes, so let me keep going. Verse 23, but each one in his own order. There's an order. Jesus is first. Then that first fruits group back there. And then our time will come where we will be resurrected. And you know how we say, I want to be in the first resurrection. That's the resurrection we want to be in. And if you're in Christ, the first resurrection. And that's when all the believers who have died in Christ will be raised. Now, let's stop there and hook it back up to what I said at the beginning. What do you mean will be raised? That means those bodies. This is a beautiful thing because God doesn't have to do anything. He created man, spirit, soul, and body. And he paid a price that we might be saved to the utmost. And he is going to save us, spirit, soul, and body. And come resurrection, however God's going to do this, the spirit and the soul of the believers will re-enter that body, that dead body, and the body shall be changed. And forever will be reunited. Whole man came back together, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. So our time is up. There's much, much more that could be said. I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You want to be in the first resurrection. If you read John chapter 5, I don't know the exact verses right now, but John chapter 5 tells you about two resurrections. Revelation chapter 20 tells you about the second resurrection, and that is when all the dead, all sinners, will be raised. Everybody dies. Everybody sins. Everybody dies. Everybody will be raised, and everybody will be judged. Those are the things that will happen to all people. Thanks be unto God. Father, we come before you, praising your holy name, giving glory to you for Jesus, and that we are in Christ. And if any man is in Christ, we are a new creation. We thank you that we are in Christ. Christ is risen from the dead, and we too shall rise with him on resurrection morning. You will bring us back together, saved to the utmost. We sing glory to your name. And now we ask you to bless saints all over the world, and we pray for sinners, that someone will hear the good news of the gospel today and yield themselves and say, I come, I come. I believe that Christ died for my sins. He was buried and rose from the dead. Bless every preacher that's going to proclaim the good news today. Bless them to proclaim it like they've never proclaimed it before. We say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now be with us. Keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Velma.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Velma. Amen. Happy resurrection, everyone.
Happy Resurrection Day.
God bless you.
Yes. Christ is risen and gives us hope, our blessed hope.
Amen.
Thank you.
Pray for me. I'll be praying for you.
Amen.
You all celebrate today. Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. Yes.
Praise God.
A wonderful teaching.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank God for Jesus being risen. Yes. Amen.
And I have to say this, that I do have my grandchildren with me. So we've all been listening to you, Miss Velma.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
God. Amen. Hello, grandchildren.
Hello. Say hello, Miss Velma.
Hi. Hi. I see you. God bless you. Jesus rose. He rose for the young and for the old. There's that Tammy. I saw her and Connie.
Yep.
God bless everyone.
Yes. An excellent teaching.
Yes. It's beautiful. Praise the Lord. Christ is risen. I hope to see you next week. Luke chapter 12. Amen. Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay.
I got to go to church. Bye.
Okay. We do too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God be with you till we meet again.